Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Sorry, everybody. We can't go a whole episode without talking about the Bruins. So here we go, Tim. Get it out of your system.
We talk about all the teams in the league. We don't talk about the Bruins more than anyone else.
Oh, my gosh. You lie. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thanks for joining us here. Tim, is it snowing in North Carolina?
It isn't. It snowed a little bit north of Charlotte the other night, but there's nothing on the ground right now.
Oh, we're just getting pelted here in northern Michigan. I think in the last 4 days, we've got about 2 feet. It's been a lot. My plow guy, not so good. So for all of our listeners in the area, thanks for nothing. Plow guy sucks. He comes once in the morning, and that's it. So he gets it at like 4 a.m., and then it's been snowing all day. And I haven't parked in my driveway in a week.
Did he do a good job the one time that he did it? Because that's a tough driveway. We talked about that.
I don't want to get into specifics. Let's just say it's not going like I want it to.
Okay.
So I'm parking down at the road, and I got to walk up a snowy hill. It's a whole ordeal. It's not great, but moving on. What is great? The Four Nations Cup. We haven't touched on it that much, but it's time to start talking about it because things are being leaked. Rosters are being leaked to the press and Team Canada. The odds on favorite, I would say, going into the tournament. They have the most NHL talent. They have the biggest pool to choose from. Well, they have made their not so official selections, but as they do, things get leaked to the press, and I think we have a good idea of who the team will be final. So let's go through that, and let's really critique every single decision and really just be such a huge pessimist that everybody who's listening will hate us because we can't see the positives on anybody on this roster. Can we just do that?
There's plenty of positives to go around, John, just because
let's talk about the six players who were already on the team. They announced six players back months ago when they first announced the Four Nations Cup, so they were already locked in. It was Braden Point, Sidney Crosby, Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, Connor McDavid, and Brad Marchand. I wonder if they would include Marchand if they had to redo that. You think?
Yeah, I do. I think Crosby loves playing with Marchand. They've been on the same line for the Olympics for multiple years now. So
yeah, they're Halifax. They're East Coast boys. All right, so aside from those six, Tim, how does the team kind of pan out for the Canadian side?
Yeah, I'll rattle through this quickly, and this is basically all but official, but Reinhart, McDavid, Marner, Marchand, Crosby, MacKinnon, Hagel, Point, Stone, Bennett, Cirelli, Konechny, and Seth Jarvis is a 13th forward. Again, we won't know what the exact lines will look like, but this is the projected lineup. Defense, Devin Toews, Cale Makar, Shea Theodore, Pietrangelo, Morrissey, Parayko, and Sanheim is the seventh defenseman, and then the goalies are Binnington, Aiden Hill, and Sam Montembeault. First, let's just I kind of intentionally didn't do a ton of preparation for this because I saw the list, added it to the agenda, and I want to kind of react to it, you know, sort of in real time. I know we've both seen this, but like, what was your initial reaction when you saw this list?
Stop acting like you prepare all the time. Like, that's all you do.
Unlike some of my co-hosts. Yeah.
No, initial reaction, the things that stand out on the forward side, Travis Konechny maybe doesn't belong there. Maybe a Seth Jarvis, friend of the show, doesn't belong there. They obviously prioritized Stanley Cup champions when building out this roster. They prioritized playoff success. They pretty much picked the Florida Panthers, Tampa Bay Lightning, Colorado Avalanche, those types of players who have won the Cup the last 5-6 years. And then that was it. they left off some pretty high-end forwards up front. I thought Mark Scheifele was a shoo-in for the team. I thought he was a lock. I like him. I think he's terrific. Robert Thomas, I really like him. I think he's kind of a do-it-all player. And then, of course, the younger guys that you might have included to get them some experience to get ready for the Olympics in 2026, Connor Bedard, Macklin Calabrini, and then Lafreniere from the Rangers, Alex Lafreniere. I thought he would be a huge addition. He played great in the playoffs last year versus the Florida Panthers especially, and he's been having a good season so far this year. Why not inject some youth into the lineup instead of going the tried-and-tested true Canadian way of we got to have players who can play in all facets of the game. We want to grind it out. We want a checking line. We want to be hard to play against rather than just go, maybe, you know, it's a best of the best. And that's the argument there, Tim. Is it a best of the best skill? Or are you trying to build the whole well-rounded team? You want guys who can kill penalties, a checking line. What type of hockey team are you building? I think Canada went with a well-rounded, everybody plays a role. There's certain situations some guys aren't going to play in, but we have a guy to plug in every situation. Anthony Cirelli, we're up by one last minute of the game. He's going to be out there. Other teams, best line, we're going to put probably Hagel, Point, Stone as a check line, maybe connecting Cirelli, Bennett. We have players for every position, but I like the makeup, but I would have liked to see maybe Lafreniere and Scheifele on the team. What are your thoughts, Tim?
Yeah, I like the makeup as well. There's a couple of players that surprised me, like Seth Jarvis. Like you said, that was a little bit of a surprise. I think Parayko and Sanheim were surprises.
You're sticking on forwards, I thought. Stop jumping ahead.
Okay, we can stick in forwards. Yeah, I mean, I liked the bottom six. People are kind of dumping on this, but it's a very hard lines to play against. Like Bennett, Cirelli, Konechny, that is not going to be a fun 45 seconds if you're matched up against them. Same with Hagel, Point, and Stone. If those are the lines, I think Stone is one of the most top three, top five effective two-way players when he's healthy.
Yeah.
He's just picking pockets left and right. He'll throw the weight around. And so, yeah, I think we always kind of knew that this would be a top-heavy roster just because they have arguably the three best players in the league in McDavid, MacKinnon, and Crosby. I think it's a good roster. I'm a little surprised at Jarvis, but I don't think this is... People are dumping on this, and I don't really know why. Especially like Scheifele and Thomas, like you mentioned. Yeah, they're very, very good. But if they're not in the top six, like you want different type of players in the bottom six than what those two guys offer, I think.
Yeah, no, I get the reasoning behind everything. And you get a sense of, okay, John Cooper's the head coach. He wants players he's familiar with in certain situations. He knows what they're going to do, hence Cirelli. Hence Hagel, hence Point. He knows these guys who've been around him a long time. So that makes a lot of sense for me rather than a guy coming in where John Cooper doesn't know much about the other players, Lafreniere, Scheifele, even a younger guy like Bedard or Calabrini. He doesn't know these guys. So he wants someone he's comfortable with. He can throw them out there. He knows what they're going to do in every situation. I don't hate the forwards. I think it's good. I think this is the best forward group in the Four Nations tournament. The USA might give them a run for their money. They have some high-end guys. But as a whole, top to bottom, I'm okay with that. All right, moving on to the D. This is where things get a little tricky. I think this is where the majority of people are critiquing the bottom three. Because the top two, it's a no-brainer. Especially being a defenseman, you like to have that familiarity with the partner. That's huge going into a playoff or the tournament or a situation where you're not used to playing with a guy. You don't know their tendencies. First D pairing, Taze and Makar. Locked it in. Perfect. Second D pairing, Theodore and Pietrangelo. Like, it doesn't get any better than that. Those guys have been playing together for years. They've won Stanley Cups together. They've won individual awards. Those top four will get a lion's share of the playing time. It's the bottom three where I think people are having a hard time with. Josh Morrissey, friend of the show. I think he's okay. Colton Parayko, big-bodied, plays in all situations, will kill penalties. And then Travis Sanheim from the Philadelphia Flyers. I would have been okay with getting rid of Parayko and Sanheim and including a guy like Evan Bouchard, power play specialist, incredible last year for the Edmonton Oilers, even a young guy like Owen Power. I like him, again, preparing for the Olympics in a couple years. You got Dougie Hamilton, Mackenzie Weegar, if you want that PK-type guy who can also move the puck. There's a lot of other options. Is there one glaring player that stands out for you that doesn't belong there, Tim, or two maybe?
I mean, doesn't belong is a hard thing to say. These guys are all so good. But yeah, I think Parayko and Sanheim, for me, like I mentioned, like those are the ones I was surprised at. And you have to wonder like what Cooper and Doug Armstrong were looking at and how they were thinking about building out this
roster. Well, Doug Armstrong's looking at his roster in St. Louis and he's like, I got to make this guy happy. That's exactly what it is. It's nepotism at its finest.
And the thing is, Colton Parayko is a good defenseman, but I think a lot of us, especially outside of Mark, who don't watch him all the time, remember 2018, the Stanley Cup run, and think that's who he is, but he's not. He's not that guy. He's one of those like Dennis Seidenberg, who was really good for a couple of months at the right time, but that's not the player that he is. And so, it's clearly there's something there. He's good at playing defense. He generates no offense whatsoever. And Travis Sanheim, I think, is a pretty good player too. He puts up surprising numbers, but I would have loved to, we'll save our biggest snubs for the end, but there's a couple of glaring, I think, missing pieces here on the back end.
Yeah, I think Parayko is a big one for me. And again, he's familiar with Doug Armstrong. I think that plays a huge part when you're trying to construct a team and you're the GM of Team Canada and you're sitting there going, okay, we got our four. Josh Morris, he's a hell of a player. He's included. So who do we fill out this roster with? Oh, Colton Parayko. I know what he does. He's on my team. I want to make him happy. It's either him or Morgan Riley or him or an Owen Power or him or a Dougie Hamilton. It's going to come back to Parayko. Well, you want to take care of your own. And I feel like he was given carte blanche as far as the roster goes. And John Cooper had some assistance in that and some input, but that plays a huge part. So yeah, Parayko would be the guy who would be.
Pete here from the Football Ramble, which is being sponsored by LiveScore Bet. This football season, experience total betting for yourself. It's everything you love about LiveScore, like the latest scores and cutting-edge stats, alongside great odds, offers, free-to-play games, and a slick bet builder. It's everything you need in one place. Less app hopping, more action. Download the LiveScore Bet app. T's and C's apply. Please bet responsibly. 18 plus, gambleaware.org.
Out for me. I keep Travis Sanheim. I like him, but I would throw like a Dougie Hamilton in there. I like him. Anything else on the D side there, Tim?
No, I have some more thoughts on when we talk about the people who missed the roster, but I'll save it for then.
All right, goaltending. The biggest weakness as a whole on this Canadian roster. They have all-stars scattered throughout the lineup. Norris Trophy winners, MVP winners, Conn Smythe winners, up and down the lineup until we get to the back end. You have a couple Stanley Cup champions there in Jordan Binnington and Aiden Hill. Obviously, the most recent Stanley Cup, Aiden Hill, 2 years ago, should I say. But it's still nothing to really be too confident about. I think we said in the last episode, gone are the days of just where you can plug in somebody and you know he's going to stand on his head. Jose Theodore, Patrick Waugh, Marty Brodeur, Marc-Andre Fleury, Carey Price, and the list goes on and on and on. For whatever reason, the cupboards are bare, and Canadian goaltenders are not just being turned out like they used to. Russia, tons of good goaltenders. Finland, lots of good goaltenders. USA, lots of good goaltenders. Canada, not so much. And so we have to pick what we pick, and Jordan Binnington makes it, Aiden Hill makes it, and then a surprise addition, Samuel Montembeau from the Montreal Canadiens, who I think I've actually watched him play quite a bit this year. Pretty damn good goalie. He stands on his head a lot for a Montreal team that isn't great defensively, and he played great, especially last game. I think he won that game 2-1 in overtime. So he's playing good hockey. But of course, there are some fan-friendly picks that didn't make it. Marc-Andre Fleury, still kicking around for the Minnesota Wild. He would have been a nice addition as a third goaltender, maybe mentor these two guys. Logan Thompson, having a great year. Stuart Skinner, great year last year for the Edmonton Oilers, takes him to the Stanley Cup Finals and really shed away that what could be goalie. Oh, he lets in a beach ball every now and then. He played fantastic last year. What are your thoughts on the between the pipes here, Tim, for the Canadian roster?
Well, I think slim pickings in general, like you mentioned, but as far as who they picked out of who their options were, I think they actually made the right choices here. I think Aiden Hill is probably the best goalie, certainly the highest floor out of the three. But Binnington is a gamer. Like I think I could see him being a guy, if he gets in the right mode and the right mental space, taking over the tournament. He's the guy that's capable of that. We've seen that from him before. But we also see him, letting in 4 or 5 goals a game. So he can be either one of those guys. And Montembeau won't play, most likely. But I like him. I think he's a really good goalie, like you mentioned. He has to make 40-plus saves all the time on the team that he plays on. And so he probably won't see any ice time, but I think it's a good pick there. And I think Aiden Hill, I would expect to be the guy before the tournament's over for them.
How the hell is Logan Thompson not on this team?
I know.
Just based on this year's stats, his save percentage, his goals against average are vastly superior to all three of these guys. It boggles my mind. He's playing
how much of this is like, because this isn't the Olympics, this isn't the World Cup. It's kind of basically this made up tournament. Do you think there are some players who are like, oh, great, I don't want to play. I get a little like the All-Star thing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really want to be the All-Star. I want to go with my family.
This is different. I think the players enjoy playing in a best on best scenario. This is the equivalent of the Olympics. I know that the last time they did that when they had the Young Guns team, the players loved it unanimously. Like, everybody said they want to do it every single year. It was a lot of fun. So the players want to play in this situation. Yeah, Logan Thompson. He's 10-1-2, Logan Thompson.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. It's just, I shake my head. I shake my head at the reasoning behind it. But all in all, what are your thoughts on this Canadian roster? Are they still the favorites after this being released?
No, I don't think. Here's the thing. Canada goes into every tournament like this expecting to win, expecting to be the favorite. The whole country thinks that, right?
Yeah.
When you have McDavid and McKinnon and Crosby and McCarr, and like you would think they're going to be the favorites. I don't have the Vegas odds. We haven't seen the other rosters. Maybe there's a little bit of bias here, but I think the Team USA team is going to be better. Certainly top to bottom. Maybe not like the high-end talent that Canada has. I don't know why you're making faces at that. Wait till you see that roster come out. We can compare the two, but there's a couple of players that I think are big omissions for me. We talked about Mark Scheifele, Thomas. Like, hey, let's talk about the guys that just missed, right? Up front, Scheifele, Thomas, John Tavares was having a quietly good year. He's on pace for about 40 tucks. Matt Barzal, Nick Suzuki, Ben Bedard, Celebrini, Lafreniere, some of those guys. On the back end, Dougie Hamilton, Morgan Riley, Mackenzie Weegar, Evan Bouchard, Owen Power, Drew Doughty probably would have been in the mix, although he's got the fractured ankle. And this is where we get into, like, every time there's an Olympics, we talk about Canada's B team would be better than just about every other country still. Like, the guys that just missed, they're still so good.
Yeah.
And then Marc-Andre Fleury, Logan Thompson, Stuart Skinner. To me, the biggest miss in this entire roster is Dougie Hamilton. I think he's a top five defenseman when he's healthy, which he is right now, and he's producing like it. He doesn't put up as many points as like McCars and Hughes of the world, Roman Josi, but he does everything. He blocks shots. He hits. He does everything really, really well. He's just a big body. I'm surprised he's not on this roster. That's the big one for me.
Yep. I think he would be the guy in the back end for me. And I think up front, I think you're right with John and Tavares. Thinking about it and looking at it, he would be a guy I would be comfortable with plugging in any situation. You know, I'd be totally comfortable him playing top line minutes if we need him to be, but we don't. Throw him on the second line if things go awry. Throw him on the third line or fourth line. He's great in the faceoff circle. Those situations, and he just has that calm about him. He's unflappable. I don't think his blood pressure goes over 89. Like, he's such a cool customer. And maybe that's a negative in certain situations, but I feel like he would be a good addition to this team just for those intangibles. It is what it is. Yeah, I agree. Dougie Hamilton should be on the team. Got 21 points this year.
Yeah, I don't know what the thinking is there, and I'm sure he's not happy about it, but we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see what comes out.
Prediction. Gold medal game or final game, Colton Parenko blows it.
Yeah, bold to think that Canada's going to get there. I don't know. I just think we're going to see the goaltending get exposed. It's crazy how they've fallen so far behind, and maybe Montembeau is going to be the next guy. You know what I mean? Like, if the team in front of him gets better and he gets a chance to shine, he looks really good, but who knows? So
yeah, give him a shot. Compared to the USA, Jake Oettinger and Connor Hellebuyck.
Well, isn't that fun? I was thinking this morning, Swayman, we were saying about, you know, six months ago that he should get the start.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and now is he going to make the team? You can put him behind three other guys at this point. So
yeah, all these other, the Scandinavians, you got Gustafsson, you got Markstrom, you got Lankanen. It's incredible. Yeah, and then poor Joey DeCourt. He would have been in the issue if he would have got his stinking passport figured out. And then I think we can put a ball on this Team Canada. I think it's a good roster. I think they are the favorites. I disagree with you. I think once USA releases their roster, we can go through and, you know, really dial it in which team is better. The USA, obviously, I think their strength lies. They got high-end talent, and they got a really good back end. Really, really solid back end. But when you have Austin Matthews, and you got Tkachuk, who's got some pedigree there, and then your back end with McCoy, Fox and Hughes.
Pretty McAvoy. Solid. Yeah.
McAvoy, who cares? But yeah, then they added Jacob Trouba. So he'll negate any offensive advantage you have on the back end.
He's not on the team, though, we don't think.
Oh, he's going to make it. Oh, yeah. 100%. Absolutely. But anyways, moving on. Anything else with this, Tim?
No, I'm looking forward to the rest of the rosters coming out, and we can spend some time on that later.
And then should we talk about And then I know this might be a little controversial. Why does Russia not have a team? Like, I get the geopolitical stuff. I get the, you know, the nuances there with Putin and Ukraine and all that crap. They would be a powerhouse if they put a team together. They have some studs who can act absolutely just play. And then the goaltending is the best in the league. You got Sorokin, you got Shesterkin, you got Bobrovsky. Like, it's too bad that we are having a best of the best, the Four Nations tournament, and arguably the best team is not coming to the dance, the Russian team. So it's unfortunate.
Well, they're not the only one. Pasternak was pretty outspoken about Chechia not being involved in this tournament either. He wanted them to be there, and they're probably not the favorites, but they're right in the same league as these other countries. So it's too bad that we don't see more of them.
Yeah, I don't know if they're at that level, but they're the next tier. I would agree they're the next tier, like Germany, Dreisaitl.
They're better than Germany, I think.
Thomas Stutzer. So
cider, yeah,
most cider. So, but I think Russia is the big outlier. And then with the last one they had, it wasn't called the Four Nations Cup. I can't remember what it was called. The Young Guns team. Have fun with that. That was a blast. Like, that was so fun to watch. Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, all these young studs flying around. They were incredible. People love that crap. Do it
Remember
again.
The rookie all-star team years ago?
Yeah.
It was so fun.
Like, I don't know why they don't embrace that. It's just a no-brainer. People love seeing these young guys compete against the old guard. It's just a lot of fun. Stupid powers that be don't get it. They don't get it, Tim. I don't know. All right. Indochino. Talk about how you can't go wrong with a classic suit, Tim. Wearing a suit on game day is me. I have to wear one every game day. You got to look good. I go on TV. You got to look good. That's why Tim and I have partnered with Indochino.
Yeah, at this point now, we've talked about this a couple of times. I talked about the first time getting a suit for a wedding with all my buddies. We show up, we get custom fitted, we have a couple of adult sodas, we're having fun. Yeah, we get the custom suit a few weeks later for the wedding. They're beautiful. And then I also got a custom shirt a couple of months ago now. They have a huge selection. I was up all night looking at the stuff because I couldn't make my decision. There was so many options. I ended up getting a really nice short sleeve, like button down, high end. I wore it to Key West in Florida back in October and got a lot of compliments. I was the belle of the ball down there. So there's a huge selection to choose from. And this is cool because it's men and women. You can shop online. There's formal and casual shirts, blazers, pants, jackets, tees, and more. So many good options. And the shirt arrived just a couple of weeks later. It was tailored to fit exactly because they take your measurements. Very comfortable. Really good style. Julia likes it, which is most important. So yeah, go check it out. John, you ordered a shirt too as well, right?
I did. I ordered a shirt and it arrived and it was great. I did not stay up all night doing it, but
so many options.
I enjoyed the shirt. It fits nicely, which is tough for a guy like me who's a big dude with weird dimensions. One time I gave my measurements to a tailor. I think I was sending it in to get something and the tailor emailed me back and that's not right. Oh, that's right, baby. Those are my dimensions. Believe it. But anyways, yeah.
What was the thing? Long arms or what?
Long arms, skinny neck. Some probably just uncomfortable or awkward. That was my dimensions. All right. This winter, everybody, you need to update your wardrobe to quintessential suiting elements with contemporary flair from Indochino. Visit Indochino.com and use code GLOVES to get 10% off of any purchase of $399 or more. That's 10% off at Indochino.com. Promo code GLUCKS, or check out the show notes for more details. It's Indochino. Check it out. All right. What are we doing next, Tim?
Well, we like to check in every few weeks or so and talk about the three best teams in the league and then the three worst. It's kind of a fun little recurring segment. And
super fun.
Do you want to start with the best or the worst?
Well, I think it's better to start with the best because that's the low-hanging fruit. I think people expect us to do that. And I don't think my number one in the whole NHL is a team that maybe people should be talking about a little more. Minnesota Wild.
Yep.
My former alma mater. They're doing this just in cap hell, $14.7 million, I think the number is, from Suter and Parisi. This is the last year of that. And then they have a guy named Kirill Kaprizov, who is absolutely lighting it up, should be the Hart Trophy winner this year, doing special things. Minnesota Wild are by far my number one team in the NHL right now. They're playing great hockey, and they're doing it all facets of the game. So they're my number one. My number two is a surprising team, Washington Capitals. People thought they were going to fall off with Ovi, you know, for what, an extended period of time. They keep winning. They're winning when it's a shootout. They're winning when the game's 2-1. They're 7-2-1 in their last 10. They're playing fantastic hockey, led by Logan Thompson, led by the back end, led by Dylan Strome. This is a great hockey team. They're my number two. And my number three, to round it out, it's tough because no other team is really standing out. The Atlantic is a dumpster fire. The Leafs are cobbling through. The Panthers are kind of stumbling a little bit. The Devils have been playing good hockey. The Winnipeg Jets have fallen down the earth. They've been really struggling. 3-7 in their last 10. Like, really, really struggling. I'm going to go with the Vegas Golden Knights. I think they're quietly going about their business. 16-7-3. Just winning the games they should win. 500 on the other games. They're a good hockey team. They'll be there at the end. Everybody knows it. They know it. They're just getting through the regular season to get to the playoffs. But yeah, they're my number three team right now, Tim. What do you got?
Yeah, it's hard to argue with those three. Minnesota, absolutely number one right now. Not just because they are in the standings, but they're playing 17-4-4 is just outstanding, considering what they're doing with the cap space. And Kirill Kaprizov is just incredible. He just keeps doing it. They're losing Matt Zuccarello. He's on the LTIR, I think, which is a little bit of a bummer for them. But he's less of a piece of the core offense than he was a year or two ago. I hesitate to pick Washington. My heart says no. But they are just too good to ignore at this point. They're tied for second in the entire league in points. They lead the league in goal differential with plus 31. They just keep doing it. They keep defying the odds. 9-2 on the road. They're just really, really good. So you have to pick them, even though I still feel like they're going to come back to earth. But at this point, you have to give them credit for where they are. And the third one is going to be the New Jersey Devils.
Oh.
They're really good. I mentioned Dougie Hamilton. He's playing outstanding. You're not relying on Jack Hughes the same way you were a year or two ago is too. Like, you're getting depth. Even guys like, remember the Paul Cotters of the world that were scoring a bunch at the beginning of the season? They're getting offense up and down, and Markstrom's playing great. So I think those are the three best teams right now, although I think Carolina, Dallas, and Vegas are all right there too.
All right. Now for the worst. And I think it's pretty clear who is the worst team in the NHL. It's a team in the offseason that made some moves to be competitive, surround their young players with some high-end talent that's going to buck the trend. Some guys getting healthy. Team I used to work for. They don't want anything to do with me these days. I don't know why. It's the Chicago Blackhawks. They are the worst team in the NHL. From top to bottom, it seems like. Luke Richardson just bumbling. The benching of Taylor Hall. That leaked out into the press, and everybody was just up in arms about that, rightfully so. GM. Maybe it's time for him to go. I don't know what's going on. What's his name again? I'm blanking on it. Kevin? What the hell's his name? I feel like that beat reporter in California talking to the GM of the Chicago Blackhawks. I had it on the tip of my tongue. Yeah, the Hawks are doing terrible. Connor Bedard having a huge regression this season. They can't figure out their lines. They should put him with Philip Kurashev. They had great chemistry last year. That's not happening. Tyler Bertuzzi's been an abject failure this year. Taylor Hall's playing terrible. The defense is atrocious. All in all, it's just been a very, very bad season for the Chicago Blackhawks, and there's no signs of this getting better. There really isn't. This is a train wreck. They're going to be a lottery team again this year, and they have themselves to blame. I think it's time for them to fire the coach, revamp everything, and I like Luke Richardson, but how long is this guy's rope? Really, he's a nice guy, not a good coach right now in the NHL. So they're my bottom team. My second bottom team is the Nashville Predators. They aren't getting better. They really aren't. They're 2-3-5 in their last 10. I know a lot of overtime losses, but still, those are losses, rightfully so. With the talent that they have, they should be way, way better than my last team. This is tough. Montreal Canadiens. They won last night, a big overtime win versus the New York Islanders. Patrick Laine's back, but they just, they're not good. Those are my bottom three. A couple original six teams in there.
Yeah, I would say probably the same exact three. I think I would put Montreal as the worst, though. They're just, of those three, they had the worst goal differential. I know they got Laine back last night, had a nice win, but they're not playing well. There's kind of like the whole fire drill alarm being sounded in that city right now. People are losing patience with Marty St. Louis as a coach. Speaking of, you know, fitting into this former pro players, getting a longer lease than they should. And yeah, I think they're probably the worst team right now, but you can put Chicago right there in Nashville. And Nashville is the most frustrating one for all the reasons we've talked about. We thought this is going to be a really good team, and they're not. So I would say those three are the bottom three right now. But there's a couple of teams. The good thing is that the San Jose Sharks, who were as of a couple of weeks ago, there's something like 10-4 in the last chunk of games since starting the season, 0-9. So they're coming around, and Celebrini's leading the way there.
Kyle Davidson.
Yes. Yes.
Man, that was, it's annoying when that happens. All right, moving on. Let's do some quick hits. Speaking of Patrick Laine, he's back.
Yep.
We had a lot going on this episode, but we're going to touch on a little bit. Patrick Laine back from his injury. He looked great. Absolutely great. Up to his old self. He's a huge hockey player. You forget how large this guy is. But they threw him out there, and my dreams came true, Tim. They started the game. Guess who the first line was?
What was it?
Doc Laine Slakowski.
Big boy. Oh,
doesn't it give you chills? This is what we called for when we had Kirby Doc on this on the show to start the season. He said, I want to see it. I'm very excited for it. Slakowski was still, I think, pigeonholed in the first line, but they finally figured it out. The shortest guy in this line is Slakowski. I think he's 6'3", 230. It's a huge, huge line. But anyways, Laine comes back. Good to see. Well-received by the fans there in Montreal. And what does he do? Just one of. Did you see the goal, Tim, or are you sleeping?
Oh, no, I did. Beautiful snipe.
Top titty. Like, just as high as you can get, as close as you can get to the corner I've ever seen a puck go. A beautiful shot on the power play. Gives them the 1-0 lead. Islanders tie it in the second, and they win it in overtime on a nice goal by Suzuki, I want to say. But yeah, great, great first game by Patrick Laine. Played great.
Well, the best part of it was the reaction from the crowd. And even Caulfield, you see that picture? He's just over the moon. Because you know what he's been through, both mentally and physically, injuries, all that stuff. And just the score, that goal in his first game at home in front of that crowd was just a really special moment. It was great to see.
Yeah, kid in the candy store with Cole Caulfield. That's nice to have that guy back. Another threat for the Montreal Canadiens. They need to go on a run. Anyway, speaking of coming back from injuries, there's some guys who are going on the injury reserve. Philip Ronick, out 8 weeks for the Vancouver Canucks. Not good. He had a lower body procedure this week. General manager Patrick Alvin said he will be out for the foreseeable future. It's a big hit for the Vancouver Canucks. They've already out without JT Miller. He's out with undisclosed issues. We don't know what that is. There's a lot of rumors going around by the Spit and Chicklets. Cam Jansen said there's problems within the room. I haven't heard anything. My insiders aren't telling me nothing. But rumors are he's having some issues with Rick Tocchet and Elias Pettersson and this and that. And it's actually not a mental issue why he's gone. They just want him away from the team because he's causing problems. That's not good. And Philip Ronick was big for them on the back end, so him being gone will be an issue for the Vancouver Canucks. Keep an eye on their position in the standings moving forward because they need to win games. That Pacific Division is tight, and they're in a dog pen right now with the Calgary Flames, the Edmonton Oilers, the Los Angeles Kings. So poor news for the Vancouver Canucks. Who else was injured, Tim?
Yeah, Tyler Seguin. This is the big one. Just announced earlier today. He's out 4 to 6 months getting surgery to replace whatever it is, something on the hip labrum. So it's a pretty major surgery. This is something that's been lingering for a little while. They kind of timed it to be ready in time for the playoffs. But it's a big loss. He's had a really nice season, 20 points in 19 games so far. But this is kind of sparking all sorts of rumors because it's most likely lining up that he won't return until the playoffs start, which means LTIR, which means off the books, which means they have a whole bunch of money available now for the cap space to bring somebody in. I saw a rumor about Malkin being someone that they're looking
Sidney
at.
Sidney Crosby.
Yeah. So there's, and if he comes back healthy for the playoffs, it's kind of a best case scenario. So certainly something to keep an eye on, although I'm sure they'd love to have Sagan in the lineup too.
Oh yeah. He's playing great. What does he have? 20 points, 19 games. He's having a great start to the season. So that's a shame. They're lying. Him, friend of the show, Matty Duchene and Mason Marchment. It's been just lights out. They're fun to watch. They fly around the ice. They have good chemistry. So that'll be a big hit for the Dallas Stars, but they won't be able to bring anybody in of his caliber. But it does free up some money for Jim Nill. That's an exciting thing. But poor tough break for him. And that hip, that's not a fun surgery. This isn't like a knee or shoulder or this and that. The hip is real. Guys have a tough time coming back from that. Patrick Kane, obviously one of the success stories, did it last year. But 2 years ago. But not good. Bruh. That is sick. Tough to see. All right. What is your, again, sorry, everybody. We can't go a whole episode without talking about the Bruins. So here we go, Tim. Get it out of your system.
We talk about all the teams in the league. We don't talk about the Bruins more than anyone else.
Oh, my gosh. I
saw this quote last night, and I thought it was just worth mentioning.
Pasternak wants to be in the Four Nations Cup. The Bruins, this guy's so bad. All right, what is Zadorov saying here?
Yeah, he was asked after the game. He scored a goal in that game, and the Bruins won against Detroit, and he was kind of asked about...
It's McAvoy, not McCoy. Oh, gosh.
I'm not going to stop correcting you. Anyway, he said he was asked about the Bruins since making the coaching change, who have been on the winning record ever since. He said, quote, "I think we're playing with passion, playing with pride, and I think we're playing for each other. I thought we were disconnected before." That says a lot, especially for a new guy who's coming in who doesn't know how it was last year, right? He's coming in completely cold and seeing what's going on in the room, seeing what's going on the ice, on the bench, all that stuff. Clearly, there was something happening with the leadership, the players, with the coach, Montgomery. I don't know what the situation was, but I thought it was. There's a lot in that you could kind of read into.
It's so strange, right? Because Jim Montgomery, everybody loves him.
Yeah,
the
players were very outspoken about how bad they felt that he got a good man lost his job was the line they were using, you know, because they weren't performing.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. So anyways, that's interesting. We'll keep an eye on that. The Bruins are playing a little bit better with a little bit more passion, as Zadorov says. So I don't know. That's it. We got to get him on the show to talk about that, because it's a very interesting comment from a coach who was hired 5 hours later.
Yeah. So yeah, and 3-0-1 the Blues under him.
Yeah, he's a great coach. And I just saw this here. Speaking of the Montreal Canadiens, last night was the first time under Martin St. Louis' reign that the Montreal Canadiens had a full lineup for him, where no one was on the injury reserve. He had everybody healthy, and that was the first time in his 225 games that he's been head coach for the Montreal Canadiens. So,
wow.
Pretty interesting. So maybe he's got a raw deal, because I was actually thinking the other day, why does he still have a job? You know, been the coach for 3+ years now. They're bad. But there might be something to that. He's had nothing but injuries and bad luck for this team. So hopefully he can gain some momentum, start to play some good hockey. Anyways, anything else, Tim?
No, hopefully we'll see the rest of those lineups come out later and we can talk about it later in the week.
I agree. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. We will see you on Friday. Cheers.
Hey guys, it's Peter Crouch and Chris Stark here from That Peter Crouch Podcast, and we're currently sponsored by Prime.
This holiday season, Amazon brings you an unmissable month of festive football.
Prime members can enjoy Tuesday's UEFA Champions League must-watch match.
Live.
And 20 Premier League games, all included with Prime.
From Tuesday, watch Newcastle versus Liverpool, Arsenal versus Manchester United, and 8 other Premier League games. And where is it, Chris?
It's on Prime, Crouchy.
I thought so.